Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Positivity Podcast on Anfield Index. My name is Matt McElroy, and I will be your moderator for today's discussion. I am joined, as always, by Luke Bomarkov and Paul Jenkins. How are you doing today, Paul?
Yep, doing very good. I don't know how we managed to do this, but pretty much every time we podcast, it's dry and sunny. So right now, no, it is incredible in Northern Ireland, but it's dry and sunny. I've had a good day. My youngest boy, football match this morning, they won, which was rather nice. And it's been a pretty good afternoon since then. We were out tending the animals. We'll not go down an animal podcast, but yes, we were out sorting the goats and the sheep and the chickens and the cats and everything else that we have around the small holding. So it's been a good Saturday so far.
I will not ask follow-up questions about the animals, so we can just move on from there. Unlike you, the marine layer is still sticking around here in Seattle. So by this afternoon, I think we'll be on your path to a sunny day. So, yes, Lubo, how are you doing this morning / afternoon?
I'm good. I'm in Liverpool this weekend. So same time zone as Paul. Yes, I'm here for the game against Palace with Mando. So we'll be going there tomorrow, and we both landed this morning in Manchester and took the train over, and we were really shocked at how busy Liverpool were, and we couldn't quite figure out why there are so many people dressed, so many women dressed in really nice dresses, and so many men with very tight pants and tattoos all over their arms. And apparently we figured out there's a horse race happening in Liverpool this weekend, which apparently is a really big thing around here. Matt and I, we had no clue. We're just like, what the hell's going on over here? As we're making our way to a hotel and we had lunch, and just all the bars are super packed. And apparently it's a really grand thing, which explains also why hotels were so damn expensive this weekend. But yeah, I'm here. I'm here to support the Mighty Reds tomorrow for a really important game against Palace, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that. But yeah, it's fun to podcast from Liverpool. This is a first for this podcast as well.
So do you have to have tattoos to go to the horse race, or is that just a coincidence?
It's strange. It really is strange. It feels like almost every guy that you see walking around, younger, even younger, older, but just seems to be a thing where everybody has tattooed arms. I cannot figure it out. Maybe Paul, you can explain it, but it's I would say it's more than 50% of the guys that I saw this, today, walking around or in the bars, they all had tattooed arms. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it beats me. I don't have a clue.
it's not really fair to ask Paul to explain what the English are doing.
That's fair.
I want tattoos right enough, but I don't have any. I need to maybe join that bandwagon.
Something to strive for.
Yes, and then maybe I can go to entry and watch the Grand National too.
Yep, that something to look forward to in the future. But since Lubo, you've opened the door here. You are in Liverpool. I know that Paul was also able to go to the game over there a couple weeks ago. So just wanted to ask, how was the experience? How was going to the game against, was it Brighton? So Lubo, you want to start us off on that one?
It was great. I was able to see the game at Brodie's, which is the new Anfield Road stand. It's the new hospitality package offering that they have there. And it's still kind of work in progress. It's almost done. The venue is almost done. They have catering, different types of food. It's quite packed. You see people from everywhere. So actually getting there before the game and just talking to people from everywhere. I've talked to people from Japan. I talked to people from Northern Ireland, actually, Paul.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, could have been even neighbors of yours from Belfast. I talked to people from Dublin, from everywhere. So it actually is a really nice atmosphere, the way they've done Brodie's. And the game itself was, you all saw the game. I couldn't even, before I even said hello to my neighbors, Brighton scored, so that caused a bit of a nervous start, but we were able
to really
turn around.
They really need to stop doing that. Letting the other team score in the first few minutes, it's like, that's before I've even had my first cup of coffee. It's not good. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. It was, but then at halftime, we went in and had drinks, extra drinks, and then came out for the second half, and it was overall a good experience. And then after that, we ended up going to a bar here in downtown and watched the Arsenal-Man City game, which ended up perfectly for us. And I should not forget, Paul and I finally met up outside of Anfield. I met his wife and his two boys as well. And that was a grand experience. I'm sorry that we couldn't really hang out more than like 10 minutes, Paul, but it was actually brilliant to finally meet you after knowing you for so many years and podcasting for coming into 2.5 years now. So that was beautiful.
Yeah, Paul, it definitely was. It was a good experience. It was good to meet up. I think for us, our day started early on Sunday morning. We flew over, and we went to our favorite breakfast, which is called Moose Coffee. Really, really good. They say like American waffles, pancakes, and like all this kind of good stuff, and it's just phenomenal. We go there every time that we go to Liverpool, and then from there we headed over to Anfield. We were in the Anfield Road end as well. Now, not the hospitality. We were in the heavens, and I mean in the heavens. It was right up. I think we were like four rows or five rows from the back of the new stand. And oh my goodness, I needed a lot. I think the time I got up there, like I was seriously out of breath, and even Michelle was out of breath. So it was like, wow. It was a fair climb, shall we say, to get up to our seats, but the experience was good. Now, I was over for what game? I was at the Bournemouth game, the first home game of the season. That was another game where we conceded really early. That was the one where we conceded after like 2.5 minutes, but was ruled out for offside. And we then contrived to go and let them score 2 minutes later. So both my games that I've been at so far this season have been games where we went 1-0 behind inside the first like 4 minutes. So yeah, a great start for that. But after that, I thought I thought we did really well. Do you know what? And I don't know if you noticed this, Lobo, but I thought the atmosphere inside, like Anfield Road, just so loud. It was like, I don't know. I've obviously been there. I was one of the times I was over with Eli. His first game was Wolves a couple of seasons ago, or it's a number of seasons ago now, where we had that opportunity of winning on the season, winning the league in the final day of the season. And whenever City were playing Brighton that day, and Brighton took the lead, and Stephen Bright took the lead that day, Anfield was absolutely roaring. I would say, like, Saturday, that Brighton game there a couple of weeks ago, like, the Anfield Road end just sounded as loud as that at times. So for me, like, maybe it's just because it's now so much under the roof, and being right in at the back, you just hear everything so much more. But, like, I would say, atmosphere-wise, was absolutely brilliant in Anfield. And then when Mo scored the second, then the place went bucked aft. So it was very, very good. We really enjoyed our time over there. And then we flew back home on the Sunday night. So it was just like one of those days where it was like really intense, because it started like 5:30 in the morning. We didn't get home to, I think it was just before midnight when we got home, just the way all the flights and everything had worked out. But I'll tell you this much. That's the first time Michelle, my wife, has been with me and the two boys. Last year I forgot to register for the tickets, so she didn't make it to the match last season. But sitting with her, that's the most intense I have seen her for a match. Like, she was on the edge of her seat, and she was up and down. I was like, my goodness, you're putting my head away here. How uptight you're getting about this. I was like, the last games that we've been over at, with Michelle, were, you know, we've taken the lead or whatever, and so she's been pretty calm and relaxed. But see, going one behind, oh my word, she was edgy that whole first half until the second half when Mo scored. My goodness, she was on the edge of her seat, and she was shouting, and she was up and down. I was like, I don't know if I could take you to a match again, because this is just getting too intense for me.
Yeah. No,
well, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you're saying about the Anfield Road, I also thought it was very, very loud, and I think having the extra people, it's a giant stand when you're there.
Yeah,
it's as big as the main stand. It's as tall as the main stand now, and it's having all the extra people there. I think it definitely makes it louder. It's funny you mentioned the Brighton game. The Wolves game back in 2019, when Man City were playing Brighton. I was at the other Wolves game in 2022, the final game of the season, when Man City unfortunately came back and beat Aston Villa the final day. But that, and we actually fell behind Wolves as well and came back to win 3-1. And the Anfield Road stand that day was jumping. I mean, the entire Anfield was just feral. It was so loud. But it was very, very loud against Brighton, especially, it's that second half when they're applying the pressure, and then when Mo scored. And I also think it was very loud because everybody was just yelling abuse at the ref, including me, who was horrible. Yeah. The ref was terrible, but it was a really nice atmosphere. And I'm just hoping that we get the same tomorrow. It'll be another Sunday afternoon game. So it's still not at 12:30. So hopefully there's a... Yeah, people are fired up for it. But it was a great atmosphere. I really enjoyed being back, and I really enjoyed being now in the new stand, the new Anfield Road stand.
Yeah, that all sounds like a great experience. And really jealous that you guys got to go into some games, because I haven't been able to get over there since 2015 to see a game. So hopefully sometime soon. But let's start taking a look at what's happened since we last talked. Liverpool came back in the international break with wins against Brighton, as we've mentioned, and then Sheffield. And then last weekend drew away to Manchester United and fell 3-0 to Atalanta at Anfield in the Europa League. So, Paul, we'll start with you on this one. Did the performances in the last two games give you any cause for concern?
Cause for concern maybe feels like... too much of a negative phrase around it. I wouldn't say like there's massive cause for concern, right? But you just have that wee niggle in the back of your head where you're looking at them going, we created so many chances against and we didn't take them. And then you look at the Atlanta game, and I didn't get to see a whole lot of Atlanta, so it wasn't. Maybe it was a good thing that I didn't get to watch him. But I just kind of feel, am I concerned? No. But a bad result tomorrow, and all of a sudden you're like, or maybe not even a bad result, but a bad performance where we still manage to eke out a result, and you might just start going, you know what, this might be a wee bit difficult. This might, you know, we might run out of steam here. And so I'm kind of, you know, kind of look at those games and I'm just like, there's the question, right? Have we flattered this season a wee bit? Have we overachieved where, and I think we have overachieved really where we thought we were going to be, you know, as fans and supporters of season where that, you know, the finish, I can't remember what finish last season, 8th, whatever it was. And you're kind of coming back, or maybe it was 6th, I can't remember what position we finished. Anyway, just that idea that we all thought, well, if we get top 4, you know, that's really where we need to aim to be. And now that you're in the middle of a title race, you know, we're effectively joint top. We're just second on goal difference. So you're like, or well, maybe after today's results, we've dropped down a wee bit down to third. But you know, it's still that idea that, you know, we're not that far off, but have we managed to get there by not being absolutely brilliant? And I would say yes, that's what's happened. And so these games, especially these games against United this season, like we've battered them. You know, there's no two ways about it. We've absolutely smashed them, but we've not come away with the results that the games should have given us. And so I'm not concerned, but there's just a wee niggle of doubt kind of there going, are we going to run out of steam? Are we going to be able to maintain this and see this through? You know, the Europa League game is just, I think we created, from what I can read into it, from what I did see of the game, we created chances, we just didn't take them. And that has been part of the story of the season. We've managed to create lots of chances, but we don't necessarily take them. But up until this point, we've been able to also kind of keep that, you know, keep the back door not necessarily shut, because we leak goals. We don't have a great defensive record this season. You know, clean sheets is few and far between. But we've always managed to, you know, kind of relatively keep the conceding to quite a low level compared to how many we score. But to concede 2 against United and then go and concede three against Atlanta, just, I don't know. I'm just a wee bit kind of like, you know, we need to have a good result tomorrow. That's, for me, that needs to be it. We need to have a good result, but we need to have a good performance. We need to bounce back and go, no, we're going to see this through until the end of the day.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, mag boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Yeah, I think that the last couple games have like sort of three characteristics that we've seen multiple times through the year, through the season, I mean. It's the, you know, struggled a bit in big games, right? And don't have the only big game that Liverpool have won is the League Cup final. The rest of them, they've struggled in. Then you have a failure to take your chances, right? You know, like in total in the Premier League, I think it's 72 goals from 71 XG. So you're sort of right on par. Typically a league winner or a second place team will outpace their expected goals by between 5 and 10. So it's just like you're a little bit under what you would expect for a team in this place in the table at this time of the season. So, you know, the difference between winning and getting second or third is probably just like those couple goals. And you can see that in, you know, getting draws against United and then the draw against City at home, the Luton Town draw. Like all of those, like if you just finish your chances a little bit better, you're well ahead. And then the other thing that we've seen is errors leading to goals. I think that in total in the Premier League, Liverpool have 6 errors leading to goal. Their nearest rivals each have 1 each. And so like your difference in goals conceded versus what Liverpool are at is basically those errors. And so like all of those things happened in the last 2 games. And so like to me, that does say like there is a bit of cause for concern just because like if those things happen a couple more times over the next 7 games, Liverpool are probably the odd man out in the 3 team title race. So I don't know, you have to play a little bit differently, just have a little bit better performances and just have things go your way a bit. But you are in control somewhat of your actions, especially on the errors. Just play a little cleaner. And I think Liverpool are in, you know, take it to the last day, whether or not their win is sort of like up in the air. So Lubo, what are your thoughts?
So, you touched a couple of things there, Matt. One is the chance creation, the shot creation. We're creating a lot. You could argue whether all of the chances we're creating are excellent quality, but we're averaging in the league over 20 shots a game. Which, if we finish with over 20 shots a game, that will be, I think, the first since Chelsea, the second Mourinho Chelsea team, you know, 07, 08, 08, 09, that the team has finished with 20 or more shots per game. Even the 18, 19, and 19, 20, those teams that won the Premier League and the Champions League, those teams were averaging like 16, 17 shots. So to create 20 shots a game is actually excellent. Now, you could say that, you know, if we, and you had made that point, Matt, is if we're a little bit better at converting, even just converting it the same as our rivals, those shots, we would be outperforming our XG by the same amount, 7 to 8 to 9 to 10 goals, which would help a lot. So the chance creation there is just, the finishing is not. And I think that's hopefully, now, especially that Diogo is back and he had a little cameo and Klopp has 5 attackers to choose from and rotate, hopefully we start putting away more of our chances. So it's on the attack, it's more that the finishing and is it physical? Is it mental? Is it just random luck? It's a little bit of everything, but we really need just some more goals. But my concern is more on the other side, the defensive side. And usually, I mean, I'm a little bit more blasé about clean sheets just because I feel that ultimately if you score more than the other team, it's fine even if you don't keep a clean sheet. But I think for the fans and also for the team, and I think that the more tense, as it gets really tense in the title race, I think if you can just keep a couple of clean sheets, it just gives the whole team a lot more confidence. Just the entire team, not just the goalkeeper, not just the back line, but everybody, right? And the last clean sheet that Liverpool kept was 2 months ago, actually, 2.5, February 3rd at Forest, that 1-0 win in the 99th minute. Actually, it was three clean sheets in a row, because before that, Liverpool kept a clean sheet in the FA Cup against Southampton, and then a clean sheet in the League Cup final at Chelsea. But since then, it's been 8 games, including games against, you know, Sparta Prague and, you know, Sheffield United, and we talked Brighton and some of the those teams that you just 8 games in a row without a clean sheet. And that is actually becoming a bit of a concern for me. And especially now going into what effectively will be 8 games left, 7 in the league and 1 at Atalanta. I really would love to see Liverpool just keep a few clean sheets in a row. And even if it means just eke out 1-0, 2-0 routine victories where you can take an early lead, you can just rest on the ball, if you will, but just have a couple of clean sheets in a row, 2-3 clean sheets in a row, I think it's just going to do a lot of good for just the confidence of the team going into the last 6 weeks of the season. And to me, actually, the defensive side of the ball is a lot more of a concern than the attacking. And even though Kevin has done really well, or Quivin, as I should call him, I wonder when we see Alisson back, and whether Alisson coming back could sort of be the missing link a little bit to just give us a string of clean sheets to finish the season.
So, Lubo, it was March 2nd, not February 3rd, when Liverpool played Forest.
Oh, sorry.
I think you're probably just getting around the US versus UK date display.
It was a long time ago, Matt. It felt like forever ago.
Right. It was 6 weeks, not 10.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that you're right. Like, with Jota coming back, maybe there's some opportunities to get a little bit better. So I was looking at sort of like the XG versus post shot XG since Jota's been out. And so, like, up for the, you know, month or 6 weeks before Jota got hurt, almost every game Liverpool had a higher post shot XG than XG. And then since he got hurt, it's always been under. So, like, the post shot XG, it runs under the XG. And so that means they're just not shooting as well when Jota's out. And that sort of coincides with Mo being out or during Ramadan at the same time. So now that I think Ramadan is over, maybe Mo's performances will start to pick up because he can get more calories and water and stuff like before the game, during the game. And like that will help him physically. So we'll just have to see like what effect that has, if any. And I guess that leads us into the next question I wanted to pose to you guys, is how much impact do you think the guys returning from injury will have? Lubo, I'll stick with you on this one.
I mean, hopefully positive impact, even though we did see against Atalanta that even bringing in a couple of players who hadn't played in a while, it was challenging, right? Costas was not injured, but he hadn't played in a while. Klopp said that he put in Curtis there because he wanted to give Curtis minutes. And even though Curtis in the lineup is one of your more dependable midfielders, you could see he struggled. You could see Harvey struggled. So I think what will actually be, on the one hand, it's great to have the players back. It's great to have pretty much all the midfielders except for Thiago back. You know, we talked about Diogo, Trent is back as well. So I think Alisson will be back very soon. So in terms of having having depth for the final 7-8 games, I think it's going to be huge. But it could be challenging because then you're trying to integrate players who haven't really had that rhythm. You want to bring them in. You want to give them game time in really, really important games. And so it would be a little bit tricky for Klopp to figure out when those players are ready to balance out sort of the rotation and integrating some of these returning players into the into the squad for these games, it could be a bit challenging. I think you'd rather have all of these players back because effectively, I mean, we'll see what happens in Bergamo next week. So it may be you have the ironic situation where you have players back, but then you don't have the games to give them. It would have been better if we had maybe a couple of extra games. It would be great if we can somehow advance past Atalanta and you have a couple of extra games. But I think it's always good to have your really good players back. I mean, the players coming back are world class. But I also think it could be a bit challenging for Klopp to just rotate them in and to give them enough minutes for them to find their rhythm while in a very, very intense, very tight title race. So hopefully he can do it. I definitely don't think he did the right lineup selection against Atalanta, and we can talk a little bit about that. So how do you integrate them without avoiding flat performances like against Atalanta is going to be the challenge.
Yeah, and the other question is, like, are the guys returning from injury too late to make an impact on the title race? You know, we're, you know, a month away from the end of the season. Like you're saying, it's going to take them a few weeks to get up to speed. And it's just like, is there too much of the season gone to actually have an impact on getting Liverpool over the hump to be the champions? Now, I think that they should have a better, you know, give Liverpool more options over the next month or so. But, you know, we'll have to see how that works out in terms of getting them reintegrated into the squad. So, Paul, what are your thoughts?
We're at the business end of the season now, so you know games are coming thick and fast. If there's any time when having players come from injury, even if they are missing a bit of rhythm, the time that you're going to want to have the players available is obviously now. The last thing you want is to be working with a threadbare squad with 8 games to go. So from that aspect of things, it's good to have them and they will make an impact because they'll be able to give other players a break and a rest. I think, you know, even if we look at Joe Gomez, who I think on Thursday night just looked from what, you know, from even the bits that I've seen, tired, was making bad decisions, was you know, just not quite at the performance level that he'd probably been the games before. And I think we've said this a couple of times this season. I think of the home game against Arsenal, I think of that away game against United, and possibly even that game against Atlanta there the other night. Is it a game too far for the players who have played a lot of football and a lot of minutes in those games? You know, you've kind of come away from thinking, you know, players look tired there, the decision making. We all know, when you're physically tired, your mental decision making just drops, you know, a couple of percent. You take, you know, Joe Gomez was taking 2 shots. You know, he's averaging like 2 shots a game, where previously he would never have taken a shot in a game. And you're kind of going, is that just because he said I can take a shot here, when previously it would have been where's the player to lay the ball off to, where's, you know, the next pass to make this work. You know, we look at Darwin and his finishing. We can, you know, you can talk about Diaz and has he played an awful lot of minutes, and you know, and then you kind of wondered, have some of the players, like we've talked previously about, did Mo come back slightly too early in the game where he probably shouldn't have been involved in? And you know, there's all these different things. So when you look at it now and you go, right, well, you've got Trent coming back, you've got Curtis available, you've got Jota available now again, and you're starting to think yourself, and Bicetic's had minutes last night in the under-21s now, whether he will get any game time between here and now season, who knows. Even Jadon Dan's there again last night, so you know, you kind of look at that and you think, well, it's better to have these guys, but obviously the rhythm and the momentum and the just where they're at kind of recovery, it's going to be hard, especially if you're battling, and every game from here to the end of the season is going to be a battle, to kind of push yourselves over the line. And maybe, do you know what, it's just going to be a step too far. It's just going to be hard to try and make that happen. But I do think having them available, and, you know, having them around, be an impact in that it gives other players a chance to rest. So, like, you've Trent Alexander-Arnold coming back. Any team in the world would be glad to have him coming back from injury. You know, I don't care who you are. A player of that ability, even if he doesn't necessarily have 100% rhythm, in the moment, can pick a pass, can play a ball, can unlock something that'll create a chance. So to have that in your team, I think it's better than to not have that in your team. To have Alisson coming back, and Quay's been absolutely brilliant. But you know, there's been a couple of questions over maybe the last couple of games where decisions that he's made. You know, you're kind of going, had that been Alisson, would that goal have went in, or would that have happened? And that's not to take anything away from Quay, because I think he's been absolutely superb. But you know, if you're bringing back one of the best, if not the best player in the world, that's going to have an impact. If you're putting, you know, one of the best right backstroke creative playmakers, like quarterback style footballer, if you're bringing him back and he's one of the best in the world at that, that's going to have an impact. Do you know what I mean? So it's going to have an impact, and hopefully that kind of impact that will see us from here to the end of the season and keep us in that title race, Matt, as you said, until the last day of the season.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.